we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday, Brevard County. Thank you for being a part of all that God is doing here in beautiful Brevard County. And this is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merritt Assembly of God. We just celebrated our 23rd anniversary at the church on Sunday. We've been pastoring since the second Sunday in December of 1992. And it's hard to believe that 23 years has gone by that quickly, but it has. And so we want to say thank you today to everybody who's been a part of what God has done over the past two decades plus, and for those of you who are listening, and for all that God is going to do in the days ahead. So today is Tuesday, and we want to say thank you to Advanced Christian Training Schools. Advanced Christian Training Schools, their phone number is 633-0432. They meet on Tuesday nights in our fellowship hall, and the times that they meet are from 6 to 9 p.m. This is a pretty small video, free video Bible class, and so if you would like to broaden your knowledge of the Word of God and hear some phenomenal teaching, you could call Ted and Linda Empsom at 633-0432. They are going to be meeting tonight. They will also be meeting on the 22nd, I believe it is, and then they will be taking the week between Christmas and New Year's off. So that's their schedule for the end of the year here. So let's get into the Word of God today. I want to remind you about tomorrow, our vintage service. We will be having our Christmas celebration, because next Wednesday we do not have any services. We have a service on Christmas Eve. It's a communion service. It's our Christmas Eve communion service. That'll be taking place on the 24th at 6 p.m. But our regular Wednesday services on the 23rd will not be taking place, either the 23rd or the 30th. So we wanted to let you know about that. But tomorrow we will be having our Christmas celebration in our vintage service, and then we also will be having a kids crafty Christmas celebration tomorrow night beginning at 6 p.m. So we're going to be having some sub rings and stuff like that, and then they're going to be making some crafts, and so it's going to be a lot of fun. I want to encourage any of you who are able to come out and be a part of that. Now, this coming Sunday, we have our kids' Christmas program, and then that's followed by my Christmas message, and I am so excited about the message that God has laid upon my heart. The other day, I was just so excited about what God had spoken to me. I was in bed, I was awake, but I said, God, I'm just enjoying the communion that I'm having with you right now, and I just really want to lay here and enjoy the communication that I'm having with you at this time, because once my feet hit the ground running, they tend not to stop much. So, but we got some exciting times, whoever wants to come is invited to this, and that is Sunday night. We have our Christmas banquet at Merritt Assembly of God. It's a wonderful feast. It is one of our favorite events of the year. This is me extending a personal invitation to you to come and be a part of that. If you listen to us on the Refresh Radio broadcast, We consider you part of our congregation. I'm not here just to pastor a congregation. I'm here to pastor the community. And so if you would like to come and have some fellowship with us, the only thing we ask you to do is to call us and let us know how many people you are planning to come and planning to bring. And that is simply for the reason that we like to be prepared and make sure that no one shows up for a feast and it turns out to be a fast due to lack of food. So if you would call us 454-4263, we would appreciate hearing from you. And the second thing is that if you can't get us on the phone, you could contact us via email, meritassembly@hotmail.com. So that's coming up this Sunday night, and that banquet starts at 6:30. So come be a part of it. It's going to be a great, great event. Let's go back into the book of 2 Timothy today, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And it says in verse number 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So here we are going to discuss several things that Paul writes to Timothy. Paul was like a spiritual father to Timothy. This would be one of the pastoral epistles that he wrote, and where he was encouraging Timothy and helping him to become the best man of God that he could become. And so in verse number 3, he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. And so the first thing that God wants us to remember, I want you to help get this, is we need to remember to pray. Remember to talk to God. Remember to hear from God. Remember that He is the commander in chief and He has our marching orders. Remember to touch base with Him and listen to Him for His wisdom, because He knows the timing. He knows the process. He knows the outcome. He knows the tools that you are going to need, the co-laborers that you are going to need. I want to remind you that God does all things well. He does all things well. His love endures forever. I like to remember that we are not in a taskmaster relationship with God. We are in relationship with God, who loves us and cares for us and watches over us. And so remember to pray. Remember to talk to Him. Prayer is not something you do just when you are ready to eat a meal. Prayer is not something you do just when you come to church. Prayer is communicating with God. I think it was on yesterday's program about some of the little object lessons that I have done through the years. And one sermon I preached and I had a phone ring nonstop throughout the service. And it was a classic telephone ring. I had it going through the sound system. And the point of that message is God is calling us. God is longing to communicate with us, and we should not ignore this phone call. We should realize how important communicating with God is. And I tell people who don't believe in prayer because they just don't understand how there could be a God who is so amazing that he could be tuned in to the frequency of our life and desire to communicate with us. But I'm here to tell you that 50 years ago, if you had been walking down the street and would have been talking and you were walking all by yourself, they would have thought that you were a little short in the mental faculty. They would have questioned your sanity. But now people do that, and because of Bluetooth devices, that they can be they can be walking down the street having a conversation with somebody on the other side of the world, and it's not thought odd anymore. It is actually a very normal routine. And I just want to remind you that God is technologically superior to anything that man has ever come up with. So you are not taxing God whenever you pray. I've heard people through the years who said, you know, there are so many more people with bigger needs or more important needs than I have, and so why do I want to trouble God with my needs? Listen, you are not a burden to God. You are a joy to God. And so remember to talk to him. Remember to pray. Also, remember that your prayers are not just about you. It is about remembering other people. It says, I remember you in my prayers night and day. So it's not a one and done type communication line, that you are talking to God on a continual basis. Now, it's very helpful if you have a set time, a time that works for you. I recommend not making that at the end of the day, because then you get so tired that you fall asleep and you end up giving God your leftovers instead of your priority time. I encourage you to make God your priority. So every morning I try and make the Word of God a priority in my life. Now, here's the thing that happens is when we're praying, we remember other people. And Paul said, Timothy, I want you to know that morning and night, I remember you when I'm praying. What an encouragement it is to others around. You know, now I know that some, pastors of very large churches, they wouldn't be able to do this, but I carry around in my wallet a little, concentrated version. It's been reduced in size, a list of the people in our congregation. I also have a list of the missionaries, the 59 different missionaries that we support. I carry around those things. And so I don't carry around the missions list. I have that in my office. But if you have prayer requests that you would like for us to remember, I encourage you, contact us at the church, let us know, and we will be praying with you about those things. So that's the first thing that Paul says is, I remember you in my prayers. First of all, he remembers to pray. Second, he remembers other people in the body of Christ, people with whom he has relationship. So we should be praying for the persecuted church. We should be praying for Christians who are in hostile areas around the globe. We should be praying for new believers. We should be praying for people who have just gained a new assignment. We should be praying that God would give them the wisdom to help in those things. Remember other people when you pray. Okay? And verse number 4, he says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. So what Paul says is, when I pray for you here, you know, I understand that you may be going through a time of sorrow, but when I remember you, I am filled with joy because I remember the genuine faith that is in you. Now, I will tell you this, the Word of God says that he has given to every man the measure of faith. He has given to every man the measure of faith. That's not just every male, that is every representative of mankind, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in America, South America, North America, the islands, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, Europe, Africa, wherever you may be found, God made sure that when you took your first breath that he had planted in you the measure of faith. What are you going to do with that faith? You're either going to put your faith in something or someone, or you are going to put your faith in God. And it is that faith in God that is genuine. It is authentic. It is substantive. It is a faith that has been placed in the one who created it. And so Paul reminds Timothy, he says this, "When I think of you, I think about your genuine faith." In other words, it's not just a matter of your imagination. It's not an emotional outburst. It's not because you are delusional. It is genuine faith. I had a person that used to work in the banking industry, and when they were teaching them how to recognize counterfeit money, they never showed them a counterfeit bill. They only showed them genuine, authentic United States currency. And by handling the genuine article, then they were able to tell by feel, by ink, by the blemishes, by the flaws, the things that were missing in the currency, they were able to tell the counterfeit from the genuine because they only processed the genuine. So Paul said, "Timothy, I want to remind you of the genuine faith that I recognized in you. I saw it in you." And, you know, it's one thing for us to say something about ourselves. It is another thing for others to recognize it in you. My parents, we live about between 12 and 1300 miles away from them. And there was a time, this was a long, long time ago before we ever came to Merit Assembly of God. I was driving an old rust bucket of a car, and it wasn't in great shape. And the company that I worked for went out of business right in the middle of a pregnancy of my wife, and so my parents called me up and said, "You know what? We will pay for you if you want to come and you know, visit us. We'll pay for you to come, and we'll send you the gas money and the hotel money." And so my wife had her job here, and so she was making the only income at that point in time, and I'd worked a lot of hours, and so loaded up my son in the car, and we headed off for Oklahoma. And my parents had never seen the car that I was driving. My grandparents had never seen it. And when I pulled into the driveway, My grandmother looked at the vehicle that I was driving and said, "That boy has more faith than the rest of this family combined." And, you know, I don't know about that, but I do know this: genuine faith is something you don't have to be ashamed of. Genuine faith works in America. It works wherever you are. Genuine faith works in every government structure. Genuine faith works in every economic structure. Genuine faith works in every climate. God will not fail you. And so it helps for you to be in relationship. Now, I know this is going to sound a little bit odd coming from a person that you don't see my face, you just hear my voice. But I will tell you this: you need to surround yourself with other members of the body of Christ, because they will be able to encourage you and remind you of the authenticity of God, His Word, and your relationship with Him during times when you may be going through doubts and questions. John the Baptist, when he was in prison, he sent messengers to Jesus and said, "Are you the one that is to come, or should we look for another?" And Jesus said, "Go back and tell John the things that you see, that the blind have their eyes open, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." And so you need, and I believe that when those people went back, that that John was revived in his spirit. He was reminded of what God had spoken through him when Jesus came to be baptized. And I believe that his voice to in Herod's castle got just a little bit louder as he said, "Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And so I want to remind you about genuine faith, because it says that in the last days that there will be deceiving spirits, that people will surround themselves with teachers that want to, that will tell them only the things that they want to hear. Genuine faith is something that you and I need to have. And Paul reminds me, he says, your mama had this faith and your grandmother had this faith. And so I want you to know that you're not the first one. And he says this, I am persuaded that faith is in you as well. So it always helps for others to recognize it in you and not you just declare it for yourself. Verse number 6 is another reminder. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I want you to know today, some people may not remember this because you've never been told this. You have a purpose in God. You have a reason that he saved you, redeemed you, called you a child of God. You were redeemed on purpose for a purpose. And you and I have the responsibility, and we need to remember that it is our responsibility, and that is to stir up the gift of God which is in us. What are you going to do with the gift? I heard an old story a long time ago about a dog that loved to chase cars as they were driving down the street. And this one man's car, he got chased over and over and over again. And finally, one day he was just a little fed up with it. And so the dog just started chasing at the rear bumper of the car as he was driving through the neighborhood. And so the man hit the brakes. The dog just ran right into the back of the car. It's not a real story, okay, just so you know. It's just for illustration. The man gets out, and he goes to the back of the car, and there the dog is. He's just kind of dazed and confused, and he said, look, you have been chasing my car for years, and you finally caught it. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the gift of God? What are you going to do with the salvation? Because here's the truth about the servants who were given talents, and that is this. Sitting on the talent that God has given you is not an option. Putting it to use is the only action. It is the only acceptable response. What are you going to do with the salvation? What are you going to do with the knowledge of these programs that you listen to on the radio? What are you going to do with the word of God that you have heard? Because you and I are responsible. We are accountable. We are going to have to give an account of what we have done with what has been committed to us. You are responsible for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has made available. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to sit on it? Are we going to ignore it? Are we going to let the embers die? Or are we going to stir up the gift of God that is in us? You see, if you don't use something, it begins to atrophy. It begins to not be able to be used anymore. And so I want to encourage you today to stir up the gift of God and make the most. Now listen, it is not up to your power. It is up to God's power. But you and I have a responsibility to put it into practice. Me believing that I was called to be a pastor is one thing. Me answering the call and saying, okay, God, I will go where you want me to go, and I will do what you want me to do, and I will speak what you want me to speak, that is an entirely different matter. That requires obedience on our part. If you love me, keep my commandments. So I recognize that God does not give gifts the way that people give gifts. People give gifts. I've heard of people who gave gifts so that people would just be in awe of their gift-giving ability. God doesn't give gifts so that you will just think that he is so wonderful. Some people give gifts for aesthetic purposes. In other words, they give gifts that are going to look nice, but they really don't have much of a function. Guys, I encourage you, do not give your wife a vacuum cleaner or anything like that for Christmas, because that's just not going to be something that's going to work out well for you in the long run. But God does give us gifts that he intends for us to put into use. Okay. I tell this story. It goes back several years, and I guess I'll hurry through this story, but several years ago, my son felt bad about the mower I was having to use to mow the yard. Now, he didn't feel bad enough about it for him to actually get out there and mow the grass. He had mowed a high lawn one time, and there was a snake there, and he just never really liked mowing the lawn after that. But he felt bad about that, so he got my wife, and they went down to the store, and they found a self-propelled mower. And they bought that self-propelled mower, and I still got it. It still runs, still does the job. And so my wife put it on the credit card, and I get to pay for that. I got to pay for that gift every month. But it is a gift that I use. And now that all my kids are grown, it's not just a toy that they can play with. It's not something that they say, I've got this. But they know that the gifts that they are given are gifts that they're going to utilize. I'm preaching from a Bible that was given to me as a Christmas present from my wife. It's got my name on it. It's got nice big print so I can find out. It's a gift that I use. God wants you to stir up the gifts that he's given. Closing out today's broadcast, I want to remind you this. You do not live your life by the power of fear. God did not give you a spirit of fear. God has given you a spirit of power. And he has given you a spirit of love. And he has given you a sound mind. I remind you today, do not let fear paralyze you and prevent you from stirring up the gift of God within you. I want to remind you today that you are not a victim, but God has made you more than a conqueror. You have the authority, and God has given you the ability to do the things that he has called you to do. But he has also given you the spirit of love, whereby you will do those things that God has called you to do with the love that he has given you to do it in. And I also want to tell you this. God's not called you to foolishness. He's called you to wisdom. He has given you a sound mind. You did not check your brain at the door when you became a Christian. Your mind was renewed to where you think and act like Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.